CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. You made it to Thursday, but you're not yet at Friday, so it's just almost the end of the week. Bulelo's here, and Pumi's here, and I am here, and you are here, along with the rest of the team running things in the background. We've got Sipiwe and Khomolemo, and we've got everything else that makes it all happen. So, good morning and welcome this Thursday. Dun, 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 dun. We've got the burning platform a little bit later on today, which is always everybody's favorite part of the week. And this morning we have a return champion, Canthan Pillay, joining for me and I for the burning platform. It's going to be lots of fun. So stick around for that. What's happening, Pums?
Hello, boys.
You're back at home?
Hence no glasses.
That's hilarious.
I am. I'm so looking forward to hearing Bulelo tell us about the Olympics.
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about. The Olympics, obviously, you know, it's about coming together. It's about nations all competing in a friendly way against each other. Humans pushing the boundaries of what physical capabilities we have, and controversy for no good reason. There's plenty of that, as usual.
I do want to quickly tell you this. On my way to work yesterday on one of the radio stations, there was somebody talking about the wildest thing I've ever heard on the Olympics. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get to the office and Google this.
Yeah.
Because you can't just let radio DJs tell you stuff and believe. What an insane thing.
What is it?
Happened at the 1904 Olympics in St. Louis in America.
1904.
First of all, wooden-legged.
I'm old, but I'm not that old. 1904. What happened in 1904?
A wooden-legged gymnast won three gold medals. It's like, what? What?
Wooden?
In totally won 7 medals, I think. It's the most insane thing. Like the marathon was the pièce de résistance of that entire thing, which had the guy that won it actually hadn't won it. He'd hitched a ride halfway through the marathon and then hitched a ride because he was dehydrated, and
that's unbelievable.
The car he was hitching a ride in broke down.
Yeah.
So he ran the last like 2 miles and was the first person to cross the line. And so he, as he was about to get the medal, the second guy arrived and he was just like, what the hell? Somebody passed out. They were like from dust, kicking up dust and halfway through the passed out because there was too much dust in his esophagus, which then ruptured and his stomach. I was just like, what the hell was actually going on there?
So in other words, if there was ever an Olympics that needed to be controversial, it was those ones in 1904.
There were two black South Africans that participated. One came 7th and one came 12th, and they ran the whole thing barefoot. Yeah. There were only two water stations. It'll blow your mind. You must Google it.
That sounds Google amazing. It sounds absolutely incredible. 1904.
I actually shared the Wikipedia link on my Twitter yesterday because I was just blown away.
Well, I mean, we think of early Olympic Games and we think of controversies and we think of Jesse Owens, right? And we think of what happened there with I think it was the 1936 Olympics that they had in Germany with Hitler. Hitler hosted the Olympics, and he was very unhappy that there was a black man who was doing as well.
He refused to give the medal over to the winners.
Yeah.
I mean, there were this marathon, there were apparently 7 competitors, runners from Greece who'd never run a marathon, never run a marathon. Just...
suppose
there was the Cuban runner had raised money in Cuba to come to the Olympics by running mini marathons. And then when he arrived in America, I think he landed in Now I forgot. But when he arrived, all the money he had raised that he had left over from the trip, he lost in a gambling, like in a dice game on the first day.
Oh, oh my God. He said, if you're ever going to enter the Olympics as an ordinary person, those would have been the days, right? Because you could have got away with it. There was no such thing as professional athletes. When did that start, Bulelo, professional athlete? Probably in the 1950s and 60s. Because these people were carpenters, they were doctors, they were plumbers, they were municipal workers. They didn't. That was their real job. They did various athletic events as part of the fun. It was their hobby.
Yeah, I mean, sort of the one that's in our consciousness is association football or soccer for some people. Was really the British keep telling people they invented football. It's nowhere near true.
Yeah.
What they invented was association football. And they were the first people to make the rules and they were the first to pay players. So as we know it today, that's probably the beginning of the juggernaut, sort of club football is being paid.
Yeah,
so we're probably looking at like the late 40s, 50s, yeah, for sure.
I mean, when Muhammad Ali was in the Olympics, he was also an amateur boxer.
Yeah, you're not allowed to pay Olympic athletes, by the way. So at the Olympics, they don't get any prize money to this day, by the way.
Really?
That's just, I don't know if you know that. So it's a big, the Olympics.
Good.
Are. I'm
one of those people who thinks that you shouldn't be paid for any sport. I mean, not at all. I don't think that.
What about acting? Should we pay actors?
No, I also don't think actors should be paid.
Okay. So as long as you're consistent, as long as Mariah Carey shouldn't get paid either, then I'm with you.
No, definitely not. Entertainers and athletes, no payment. There shouldn't be any of that. But that's a wild story, Pumi. You see, there are still radio DJs who do a bit of research and do their shows. That's good.
I have to tell you why I Googled it. Mm-hmm. Because I was in a conference, in a digital conference a couple of months ago, and one of the speakers so confidently made a claim that carrots are orange because they come from the Netherlands, and it was a conscious decision that they should be orange. And it's so confident, it was like it was a branding, wara, 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 wara. And I thought to myself, this can't be right. This guy can't be, this.
No.
It's a global conference. I was like, this can't be right. So I went and I Googled. So now, like, the idea of Googling to catch people out from their, like,
shit.
I was just like,
yeah,
this guy. I put it in the conference notes to say, I'm sorry, but you've got, this guy was sus. Like, really?
Yeah, good.
Carrots good. Are orange because they come from the Netherlands.
Some people bullshit their way through. But I mean, this is wild because what you discovered is almost more unbelievable than that. And yet it's a big, it's like a big story that happened all those years ago in the Olympics. Listen, I do enjoy the Olympics. I said so. We've got one South African who's doing really well at the moment, this Tatiana Schoenmaker, and she continues to impress. You know my feelings. The very hardcore, very shit, very rational part of me says, well, silver medal, that's just first loser, But the gold, that's the one that we want. And
so she's in the mix again, by the way. She's broken another Olympic record for a 200 breaststroke, and she's probably going to win that. Because the 100's a little trickier to win. Is if you mess up probably four or five of your strokes, you're out.
You're
the 200, that separates the real animals, because that's four laps. Another Olympic record. So she's a double. She's Penny Haynes reincarnate.
Well, she's terrific. Good for her. We need some stories of winning, because I was also watching this whole controversy unfold about Simone Biles, and people were making a huge amount of noise on both sides. So she's this incredible young athlete who's just done an immense amount of winning in gymnastics, right? And she could do things with her body that it just shouldn't be humanly possible. And the rest of us feel like we're made of lead when we watch her. But she had a bit of a meltdown, she says, due to mental health, and she she's decided that she doesn't want to take the bad with the good. She doesn't like all this pressure at the Olympics, and she's decided to take a break for her mental health. But she basically just walked out on her team. And there are people who are very, very angry with her on one side. There are people on the other side who think she's the bravest person ever just because she's taking her mental health so seriously. It's amazing, though, that we've reached a point in human endeavor where you can be a winner both for winning the gold at the Olympics, which seems obvious to all of us, but you can also be a winner in some people's eyes by being a quitter and by falling out, by kind of dropping out. It never used to be that those people would be considered winners, but that's how things have changed now. And there's almost some kind of a premium on people who will find some way. And I don't disbelieve that she's having some sort of mental crisis. And if she is, then she's probably done the right thing for herself by dropping out. Who the hell am I to tell? But this is now regarded as something brave. I mean, it's ironic to me that the very people who think that she's brave for dropping out for, you know, her mental health and doing this are the people who don't consider it an achievement to get gold. And the people who consider it an achievement to get gold are not the people who consider it a victory to step aside and take your mental health and put it first. It's like there are two different subspecies of humans living on Earth right now. We see the world in completely different ways. I don't know how to make sense of this.
Well, what about this? So forget, I mean, that's going, whatever. She's going through what she's going, whatever's going on there. I'm more on the side of you get $20 million a year.
Like, yeah, shut up.
I don't need to hear
shut up
human
and get on,
talk,
get on the whatever. Rings. Yeah.
We do live in a society where people need to constantly tell us that they're fathers and mothers and how hard it is. It's like no one told us that 100 years ago. Like they just got on with raising their kids. Like, now, how often do you hear just from the common citizenry that being a mom's a full-time job? Like, okay, that's always been a thing. Like, thanks. Why are you telling us? Mm-hmm. So this is the logical conclusion, right? Where
right.
everyone's a thing now. Like, yeah. Just keeping your human alive is a you deserve a gold medal. So mm-hmm. why wouldn't Simone Biles head this way? You know, the which is a very yeah. confusing time.
You get more credit for that.
I don't think
stuff.
It's the same thing, though. I don't think it's the same thing, though. It's not just dropping out for dropping out. I think the thing that a lot of people are recognizing is when the stakes are so high, to say, I'm actually not going to break myself for this one thing. I'd rather be okay to fight another day is what people are looking at and recognizing. So to be able to walk away, Mulelo, from a 20 million rand check to say, listen, right now, that check, where we come from a time when people would break themselves just so that people around them don't think that they are weak, just so, and not yeah. because they are not weak, you know? So I think that they're two different things. It's not just, you know, dropping out and being like a druggie on the side of the road. It's not that kind of dropping out. It's at the peak where everybody is looking at you and everybody is clapping. It's yeah. it's actually almost ununderstandable for a lot of people to say people are okay with walking away from all that like adoration because for whatever reason they're struggling right now. That's what I think is the hard thing.
Well, there are lots of comments from people here. The Eleutheria says, if she'd done it during the individual events, different story, but she abandoned her team during the team event, and that is just selfish. Well, you see, this is the kind of a very polarized opinion that people have now of her. I agree with Ben Shapiro. She's neither a villain nor a hero for dropping out. She's just human. You should always try to dazzle with brilliance. If not possible, then baffle with bullshit. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, to me, it's just that's your whole purpose. Like, if you've built up to this, you're at the Olympics. It's been a pretty weird Olympic Games. We don't have the crowds that we've had before. This should be her chance to shine. She was tapped to be the number one medal winner at these Olympics, right? Do you think that the pressure is just too much? Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to be understanding and sympathetic here. At the same time, I think, like with Naomi Osaka, there's a premium.
She's unbearable.
There's a premium.
She's unbearable. Yeah, Naomi Osaka's unbearable.
Yes, absolutely. But there's a premium attached to people who consider themselves to be in some way victimized or beleaguered or unfairly treated by society, and that counts more than being a winner. Somehow, in some people's minds, the more you struggle and the more difficult you think your life is, because I really don't believe that either of these two women who I've just mentioned now have the hardest lives on earth. They just don't. There is no way you can compare them to just about anything else on earth that people do for a living and say that they're having a tough time by comparison. You just can't. And don't say, oh, well, the Olympics, it's very tough. You know, it's very hard. It's mentally exhausting. The competition is so high. That's what they've trained for their whole lives. That's what they do. That's their whole job. That's like me waking up.
And they get paid exorbitantly by social standards. So there must be a price. That's why we pay you. You have to tolerate the extra stress.
You know, imagine the CEO.
But is it not sufficient then for you that at 24, which is I think she's 24,
she's 24,
right?
Which is quite old for a gymnast, actually.
She has already endured physical and sexual abuse. She has put herself.
I'm going to say I don't care.
Also, no, that's fine. Yeah. It's fine that you don't care. But my question is, she's endured all of these things and has gotten a place where she's going, okay, breaking. And rather than break, I'm going to walk away.
Why not do that at the start of the Olympics or do it once you've done the Olympics? To do it in the middle seems to me. And she pitched up afterwards, and she was smiling and carrying on as if nothing was wrong. So I don't know that there was such a huge amount of duress suddenly on her. There was suddenly such pressure on her. I'm tired of people with their backstories about abuse and how hard their lives are. I know it sounds extremely callous, but everybody on earth has some kind of cross to bear. And I'm sick of hearing these stories. I've lost the ability to empathize with those people completely. When they start down there, I had a horrible time when I was little. Meh, 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 meh. I was deprived of this.
I think it's like a car. I think it's very much like a car. When you drive your car and you start driving your car at the beginning of a journey, you may feel that there's something wrong with it. Maybe it's making a little sound that I'm not sure about, but you're like, okay, maybe it'll get to where I want it to get to. And if a quarter of the way there, the car breaks down. Okay. So she have started with an inkling that says, oh, I'm not sure if I can pull this thing all the way through, but I'm going to do it anyway.
No.
Right?
So meanwhile, as you said, back in 1914, some dude with a wooden leg was winning gold medals because he was running and jumping and fighting and fucking and doing whatever he was doing. Listen, I hear you, but here's my big concern is that now mental health is this coverall, impenetrable excuse that people will use. And it's never been an excuse that was valid before because you would have to be certified as a lunatic. You'd have to be in an asylum to have got away with that excuse before. Now, thanks to people like Meghan Markle and Prince Harry and Oprah Winfrey, what's happened is that the whole world has now decided, oh, hang on a second. If we can use mental health as an excuse, no one can question us. This is a great excuse. You're going to see people doing this.
Isn't it an excuse or is it a reason?
I think it's an excuse. I think everybody's got some mental health fragilities. Everybody's got some. This is going to become, because you dare not question it, right? You dare not say to someone, I don't think you have mental health issues. I just think you're full of yourself. I think you're self-absorbed. You can't say that to someone. That's like the most callous thing you can ever say. And who's going to prove it? What are you going to do? Force them to go for a test? You know, if someone says they've got COVID, you can test them and see if they've got COVID. Oh, okay, that's why you weren't at work. You had COVID. Fine. If you have a mental health breakdown, I know this is going to be very unpopular with some people. You have a mental health breakdown, it's all in your head. There's no way that you can demonstrably show that that's happened. You may very well have had a mental health breakdown, but you might also be making it up. It might be a really convenient excuse. There might be people all over the world who have always looked for an excuse. And now this is the one that, that is unassailable. Because if I say that I've had a mental health breakdown, who are you to tell me I haven't? You know what I mean?
Precisely. And if you do feel that for whatever reason, I mean, I think about, we were talking about 1904. We come from a time where just having an orgasm was considered hysteria for women, right?
Yeah.
So why can we not advance to a place that says, right, if a person's mind is unable to continue functioning in the way that we need it to function, and that person removes themselves from the situation.
Fair enough.
That's, we should be able to say, all right, this person has removed themselves from the situation because they feel that their mind is unable to continue delivering in the way that there is an expectation for them to deliver on. That, I think that we should applaud, because what you actually really don't want is, you don't want a crazy person or you don't want a broken person as part of the team, because then that is detrimental to the team.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's...
I just fear here that there's something else going on, is that there's a conflation, right? Because as soon as you say something about Simone Biles, is you don't believe in mental health. No. They are existentially apart. You can still say mental health if she's going through that. That's awful. But when you're in a team environment, and you know, as a junior, I played these team sports, there are constantly people pushing themselves over the edge, and you cry in the locker room. That's actually the rule at that level, is, or there's always somebody going through it. That's what the locker room's for. It's why it's such a sacrosanct place. And if you ask most athletes, that's the only place they really feel safe. It's when they're doing what they do, or the locker room. Is Simone Biles, you may be going
through, and when you can no longer keep it in the locker room, when you can no longer keep it in the locker room, and you fear it may spill over onto the playing field, is it then not the right thing to do to remove yourself from the playing field?
But most people would do what you're saying now. The you know, the $20 million you earn per year, that's to push yourself. When things get this tough, that's when you earn that money. It's not when things are comfortable and you're winning gold medals.
No, it's not when it gets this tough. So she has gone through this tough, and she is going, this is further than any tough I've ever had to go, and I cannot do it. And rather than let that impact on the rest of the team, I am going to walk away and allow them to get to the best that they can do and the tough that they want to get to.
The way you explain it, Pumi, it makes perfect sense, and I can't argue with it. It's a very sensible way to behave. And I think that if that was what I believed, and I don't believe her, I don't believe that that's what she's doing at all. I just don't believe her. And there's so many people who do this mental health thing that I just don't believe. Like, you didn't believe that person who said carrots are orange because they come from the Netherlands. You know, I just think a lot of these, I don't believe you. I'm going to be saying this to people more and more often now, is because even if everything that you said is true, then I don't have an argument. I really don't. And I can't say anything about this. None of my business. I mean, even Tracy says, why are we even discussing this? It's a non-issue. It's done. She made up her mind. We will never know what really happened and what led her to this. Everything said is pure speculation. Cool. Allow me to be speculative about her honesty, like I am speculative about Naomi Osaka's honesty, or I'm speculative about Joe Biden's honesty, or I'm speculative about Boris Johnson or Angela Merkel's honesty, or Cyril Ramaphosa's. I don't think all of these people are honest players. I really don't. I think that sport is now becoming infected with a level of dishonesty. I'm not saying in this case it's her, right? But it's become a thing. It's part attention-seeking, and it's part generalized, unassailable excuse that people will use. Now it's going to be mental health. Before it was identity. There's going to be a whole lot of other stuff that dishonest people will use. Now, I'm not saying that she's dishonest in this case, but I don't necessarily believe all of these people who tell me that they've got mental health problems. I don't think all of them do. I think being human is hard. I think being human is tough. You've got a lot to deal with. But all this navel-gazing, all this, I think I might have a mental health problem and it makes me interesting. That stuff, I think there's a huge amount of that happening. Huge amount. Because it's become fashionable to do that.
And there's a brutality here, right? Is sportsmen and sportswomen, and we're starting to see it now more and more, is you're not actually human, you're just a product. Because that's actually the problem. Most of the problem is that you get paid. And that's brutal for sportsmen to hear. Trust me, I know them. And more of them are with people. And no, sorry, you're actually in a meat market. You're just a product. There will be another one.
Listen.
And we don't care. I'm not just saying this.
I will believe you.
But that's not just...
That's not just sports. I will believe you I will believe you in life. If you say you've got mental health issues, I will only believe you that you're taking it seriously and doing something to sort it out when you quit social media. Then I'll believe you. Because that's number one. That is probably the greatest source of huge mental anguish and frustration and unnecessary pain for so many people. You've got to get off of that. If you do that, then I'll start seeing, this is someone who has mental health issues that they're trying to resolve. They're getting off of social media, because that's step number one, has to be. For anyone who's really going through a tough place, get out. No, get out. You're going to quit the team at the Olympics, but you're going to stay on Twitter? No. Guess where all the mental health problems are going to come from? Twitter, not from the Olympics. So get off of there. Help yourself, and then I'll meet you halfway. I don't know.
Okay.
Just an opinion. Anyway, listen, I'm also sad because she's so good that now we're not going to see her.
Great. Not good.
Yeah.
Great.
Well,
I mean,
correct.
Great.
So as a person who would have, and I mentioned just 2 days ago when we were talking about her, remember we were talking about how great she is. We were saying, I can't wait to see this woman do this amazing stuff with her body and marvel at the fact that she's at the top of her game. That's probably why I'm cross too. Because it's like, oh, no, I don't get to see this. So,
and she is a gift. Like now, you know how people are now. It's if you dare hold this line, you just can't hold two positions at the same time. She is great. She's been a gift to humanity. Like that doesn't change in my mind. I just grossly disagree with this part of her behavior, her character. She's been a gift.
Alvin says, and I think this is quite a good point, we'll also see more mental health problems with politicians. I meant to say most of them are dishonest and pretentious assholes. You watch. I mean, don't we currently have a deputy president who's in Russia? Watch him come up with an excuse for mental health. If Shabir Sheikh could have used that one back in the day and got away with it, we would have, because there used to be stigma. So it was embarrassing to admit you had mental health problems, so people didn't, because then you would lose track with the voters. Now, having mental health problems, everyone's like, oh, tell me about it like Oprah would like to hear about it. And then suddenly you're taken very seriously. Mm-hmm. Let's see. All right, quick headline intervention here. We need to just see what's going on very briefly. So they're looking for the winner of the 158 million rand jackpot in the Powerball. Yes, it could be you. It could be you, Mbulelo. Listen to this.
What?
One incredibly lucky person somewhere in South Africa has turned into a multimillionaire overnight thanks to the National Lotto and their draw. It was held on Tuesday evening, and one ticket happened to match the five numbers and Powerball, bagging the player 158,035,647 rand. That's a lot of money, and that could be yours. Yes.
Is that like the biggest jackpot single winner we've ever had?
I think
in the lotto.
Yeah.
158 million.
Uh-huh. That's among the top two highest ever winnings in the lotto's history. So it's one of those top two. And if those are your numbers, you better go and check your ticket. That's all I'm going to say. If you bought the lotto ticket for for Tuesday evening, good for you. You could be 158 million rand richer. Now, that's an important headline. I'd love to be the one who gives you the news this morning that it was you who won. There is no quarantine for fully jabbed US and EU travelers. This is very good news. So if you have had the vaccine and you are ready to travel again, then apparently 4 a.m. Monday morning was the change coming into force. That was where it all happened. Only people who received their jabs in the UK could avoid quarantine before, except for France. but the UK government said the rule change had come in to reunite families and friends whose loved ones live abroad. Transport Secretary Grant Shapps said it would apply to people who have been fully vaccinated with a jab approved by the US or EU with a final dose at least 14 days before their arrival. So basically, this is to say you're free. You're free to travel. So if you wanted to travel, you've been waiting for that, then this is the way that you can have it done. Okay, so that's how they see this whole thing rolling out. Very exciting stuff. You want one more before we wrap up the headlines? Let's talk about this unbelievable Transnet cyber attack. Did you hear the story? So
I'm just saying my Russian theory. Just every day, new information comes out. I'm just right. Like, y'all.
Yep.
My conspiracy, y'all. Because who else? Who else has the capacity to, like, it's not Rwanda. No. Like, hacking Transnet for what? That.
Well, there was a cyber attack at Transnet. It's a huge concern for people. It's impacting the delivery of perishable food, which is stuck in containers and freight trucks. The delay will push companies into looking at other ports in neighboring countries as an alternative. Transnet says authorities are investigating the cause of the IT disruptions. On Monday, they declared a force majeure with immediate effect as its terminals in Cape Town, Durban, Gqeberha, and Ngqura. And on Tuesday evening, Transnet announced an increase in the volume of containers and in and out of the ports as the supply chain started working again. So it's starting to happen. But I mean, poor Durban, they couldn't have had a shitter time, right?
Yeah.
Horrible. All right.
So that's like nerd looting kind of thing, you know?
No.
Like we did it on the ground, and now there's some guy sitting in his mom's basement asking for $30 billion from Transnet or whatever.
Yeah, it could well. I mean, it could
he's
be.
He's not in his mom's basement. He's like in the basement next to where basement keeping DT Mbuza in.
Oh, man. I feel like. Don't you also feel that.
Next door. This is DT. Next door. This is the guy with his little computer. In the Kremlin, deep in the belly of the Kremlin.
It's unbelievable. Happening,
guys.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out. So what is it? Is it to bring us to a point where we're so
get the nuclear deal working.
Yeah, we're so broken.
Get the nuclear deal working.
And then things will happen. Well, I'm a big fan of nuclear energy. I just don't like the way the Russians do it because they do shortcuts and then we end up with a Chernobyl. I mean, you know.
But people have taken their money now.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes, that's true. So that's probably why Didi's over there at the moment. That was a very good theory, Pumi. I said to you the other day, I think that's a very valid theory.
Yeah, and in case you didn't see it, Gazprom sponsoring the Euros. So they are coming. They are coming. The Russians are coming. Gazprom was all over the Euros 2020, by the way, as one of the major sponsors. So Vladimir's got a plan.
As Daniel says, though, I mean, this is a very good point. Daniel says China was found responsible for a massive cyber attack on Microsoft Exchange servers. So don't discount the CCP in China. They're also crooks when it comes to doing this stuff. Tracy says that Russian poison, Novichok, could be involved with our deputy president. That is one scary poison. Where did the attack come from? Russia and our deputy is there? Coincidence? We're speculating, but yes. Good Stuff says, ask Edward Snowden. Maybe he knows something.
I'll be my cable.
Courtney. But he's still there, right? Didi Mabuza. We don't know where he is.
Hey. Yeah. Mm.
Now, Cyril should fire him right now. Right now. If you haven't been to work for, 2 months?
There are people who have been at work and have not done. There are so many people that need to be fired, guy. Where would the man start? That's why he's not firing anyone. He actually doesn't know who to start, who to fire first.
You know, I was talking to somebody about the fact that when Pia Via Buerta, remember, Pia Buerta, when he came in as president, he fired the entire intelligence department. He got rid of all of them, summarily sacked the whole lot because he said, I can't trust you guys. You've been giving bad advice to my predecessors. You don't know what's going on. I'm hiring new people. And he put a whole new team in there. And the fact that he did that just proves that, you know, if you come into a position, you have to have the stones to get rid of the people who are going to try and trip you up. And we've seen
all of them.
And we've seen that Cyril and his intelligence service, the NIH, as we call them in South Africa, NIA, National Intelligence. What are they called? National Intelligence Agency. And they've got this huge infrastructure. They've got a massive farm out in the east of Pretoria. They've got a huge budget. They had safes full of money in order to get things done. You remember all of that came out at the Zondo Commission. Now, these guys could not predict. Anyone could have predicted at least a little bit of noise and violence around Jacob Zuma's being arrested. These guys couldn't predict even that. They should all be fired. The lot. Get them out into the job market. Fire them.
Contradiction in terms there. Central intelligence agency.
Exactly. One petty man called Silo Malema once said, there's no intelligence here. We came to
you. Remember that.
There's no intelligence here.
Yes.
Yeah, Silo Malema, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, guys.
Carl says, this government is so useless that we were probably hacked by some 13-year-old playing Fortnite. It's also probably true. I reckon so intelligence, that's one. If you had to give me a government job, if you held a gun to my head and said you have to work for government, I would hate all the options. But the one job that might be really interesting is intelligence. Because you can gather information, you could find out what's really going on, you can put those presidential briefings together every day. You can look at the threats and at the opportunities and at the weaknesses in our state, figure out ways to make sense of it. Don't you think that would be a fun job if you had to take a government job? I wouldn't mind running intelligence. That would be cool.
It would be cool. Reminds me of that spy museum in Berlin.
Yeah, we went to that. Pumi and I went to the spy museum. What an interesting place. And you could buy so many cool things there. Like you could buy ink. And there were various things that you could actually buy a little device that would create like a wireless or Wi-Fi black hole. So you could actually you could put this thing on a table and it would disable Wi-Fi for like a meter or two around it. That's pretty cool. Isn't that amazing?
That is cool. It's like around government buildings.
Yeah, you could. Well, I mean, there already is a black hole of wireless around the government buildings because there's nobody's connected to any reality. Obi Kenobi says, remember his signal jammer. And remember when they jammed Parliament? Obi Kenobi says a national intelligence agency should be called the National Ignorance Agencies.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said.
Don't rule out an incompetent person having pressed delete by accident in the cyber attack. That's also possible, eh? It's totally possible. I mean, we are talking about Transnet.
What you got to hope is you got to hope old Utoris Wase Home Affairs doesn't work there, because you know what they're saying is the system is down. Sorry, can you take the ship back to China? Yeah, well, go back to China. The system is offline, Siswam. Come back next week. Can you go back to China with all of that fish? Yeah, come back next week.
Yeah. Did anybody stock up on alcohol this week? I want to know how all of our drinking friends who listen to the show are managing, because I mentioned that I went to the shops on Monday, and there was nobody in the liquor store. It was quiet. So people either already had stocks.
Really?
Yeah. It was very quiet. I mean, I thought Monday, there's no way I'm going to go near it, and I went and did my normal shopping. And on my way out of the normal shop, I saw that the liquor branch of that same shop was open, and there was nobody in there. I thought, that's very suspicious. The day after Cyril makes alcohol legal again for purchase, and so I popped in and just stocked up myself. Yeah, I thought.
Although the tragedy is, when's month end tomorrow? Hey?
Yes, month end.
Oh, no. So people are screwed. Well, what are they going to do? You know, some people only get paid on the 30th.
Well, yeah, some people get paid tomorrow.
And it's closed tomorrow.
Because, yeah, they'll pay on the last Friday of the month. And they close. Yeah, that's correct. So if you didn't buy alcohol Monday to Thursday. Yeah, that's the right move. This is this one.
Black Sam.
So, all right, here's a good question, because I know everybody's sick of talking about coronavirus and lockdown. And really, to our credit, we haven't covered that this morning very much. But there is a question Bulelo has. Where are you in your lockdown cycle at the moment? You know, there's those people who've – it's just become exactly the normal routine. I mean, I was answering a question last night. I did this test just for fun. Yeah, I had to pay to do it, but I did an interesting test on kind of personality and all of that stuff. And one of the questions was, I like having a routine. And I'm exactly half and half on this one. So I had to answer number three, which is neither yes nor no, right? Strongly agree is number one. Strongly disagree is number five. And I answered, I don't know, because a routine, what is a routine? I mean, this show is probably the only part of my life that is a routine. You know, I wake up the same time every Monday to Friday and I do the show for 2 hours. That's my routine. Everything outside of that isn't really a routine. I do some things every day, but they're all at different times. So I might go into the office, I might do some exercise, I might make breakfast, I might have meetings. Today I've got a 2 o'clock and then I've got a 5 o'clock, sorry, 6 o'clock that are quite important. Those are in the diary. But the rest of it is more or less, it's malleable. So I don't really have a routine for the weekdays. It's not the same every week. And I wonder how that is for most people. Have you also been able to completely change the way that you set up your diary? And where are you in the cycle? That's a good question. It's a really good question. I'm interested to know. What about you?
Bulelo must tell us where he is in his cycle.
Yeah.
You know, largely speaking, again, my life hasn't changed. Like, I live close to work. I've been working. It's, you know, I exercise. Like, all of the things I was doing before, I've had the pleasure of not having to see people I didn't want to see anyway. So it's even better, actually. So I can really get into my routine. I would have been a one on that test. Routine is everything to me. So relatively speaking, stayed the same. It's just been so interesting to hear from my friends, again, just getting feedback and actually catching up with one or two people last night made me realize that, wow, this is not the same person at the beginning who was just like, okay, I'm baking bread, I'm at it, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm in my health. And now all of a sudden she's starting to unravel a little bit because she can't travel and she can't see her gran in Portugal and all of these kinds of things. So I'm just wondering where people are.
Stop speaking about Simone Biles like that.
Oh my God. Oh man, but I don't know what people are doing now. Is the novelty completely worn off? Or, you know, spending time with your kids? I mean, Pumi, you're a parent. I'd love to know, like, where is it with having all your partners around all the time, having you and your partner working at home, children are around all the time. They're sick of you.
Well, Pumi's
you're
also
sick of them. So I don't know where people are with that. I just know my friends are starting to really struggle.
Do you know how exciting it was on Monday when people went back to physical school? You have no idea. Whoa.
I was just about to say, Pumi's an honest parent. She's not just a parent. So she's going to say, yeah, she loves her kid, obviously. Whoa. But she's like, as soon as he could go back to school, you were ready, right?
No, but you guys, we have I don't think it's unique, but I think it's one of the small kind of unique arrangements we have. There is two people in this house. Two people in this house and a small dog.
Right.
And this has been like the way that our life has been is insane. You can't go anywhere, you can't do it. It's just it's insane. And it's like it'll make you crazy. So routine for me has been a savior. Right. You just, and it's the routine. There are lots of new things in the routine, like baking bread.
Yeah.
It is. It's a big part of my routine. Every second day, it's totally, we love it. We don't eat like store-bought bread anymore. And the routine has helped. The other great thing, though, is being untethered. I used to tell you guys this at the beginning. It's being untethered from the clock.
Mm.
Because you don't have to be at school at a particular time. You can sleep in for an extra hour. I struggle to sleep. So that was brilliant, right? Because if you don't have to be up, except for today,
sorry,
if you don't
about that.
Have to be up at 6.
Yeah.
And also, like, why are blankets so much warmer in the hour before you have to get out of bed?
Oh, you're so right. Oh my God. I woke up in the middle of the night last night and I was so sad about waking up. I don't know what woke me, if it was a noise or if it was my own brain or something. But I woke up at I don't know, 1 in the morning, and I was like, oh God, this is the worst, because I was just having the best sleep ever. And then you try for an hour or so to get back to sleep. And eventually when I did, I was having such a fat sleep, and then my alarm went off this morning. I'm like, oh God.
I don't know. I mean, it definitely has changed the cycle to organize your life, right? It has changed that, because, you know, you're weekly shop, you're like trying to not make it at a time when you're in a super spreader event. You don't want to be there when all the queues are there. You don't want to be, you know, so you kind of repositioned how those. So what cycle is that, Bo? What cycle is that?
I don't know. And it's, again, Gareth, you said something which a friend of mine responded to the other day, is it sounds insensitive, but I literally have not changed my life. Like, for me, without my routine, you don't want to deal with me. Like, that is locked in. Nobody gets that space of what I do when I want to do it, especially in the private life. And it's really probably insulated me, and I haven't had a full-on COVID experience, you know, that everyone has, because they worried about everyone.
You survived COVID. You made a huge big deal of it. You were like,
no, I mean, I'm a hero. No, that's, yes, we're not going to discount me being a hero to millions and surviving COVID. And a lot of people are saying I'm the Rosa Parks of COVID, you know, without me, you know.
Nelson Mandela went to jail for 27 years and Bulelo had COVID. They're exactly the same.
And really, who's the hero there? I don't have a massive statue in Sandton Square that's showing everyone how great I was. I wake up every day and put on my pants one leg at a time, you know, Nelson Mandela. So am I greater than Nelson Mandela? Let's ask that question, you know. I'm not saying I am, but I'm happy to kind of ask the question.
Listen, we joke about that now, but like 5 or 6 years ago, if you'd even joked about that stuff, people just thought it was some kind of sacrilege. You know, you couldn't joke about Madiba 6 years ago. People were hugely touchy about that.
He had a great sense of humor. I'm sure he'd be okay.
Oh yeah, no, obviously. But you know, every it's other people. It's never the person themselves who takes all of that hugely seriously. It's other people. It's acolytes. It's the disciples that come afterwards that spread the gospel.
Yeah. And to those disciples, obviously it's gone Nelson Mandela, Siya Kolisi, and now Mbulelo. So we're all closer. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I'm saying as well that
it makes perfect
you don't need
sense.
To worry. Yeah, it's, you know.
It's a long line of heroes. Yeah.
As a hero myself, let me speak to one of my heroes, Sir Isaac Newton. He said, if I can see further, it
also,
is because I stand on the shoulders of giants and the nation will rise.
A little known fact about Isaac Newton, also Xhosa.
Oh, yeah. No. You've mispronounced it. Isaac Kutin. Yeah, Kutin.
All right. Very good. I love it. So Matt says, hey, guys, awesome show. Great news. I get to leave the 10-day UK hotel quarantine today after visiting my family back in South Africa. I'm already missing South Africa, but I'm glad not to be locked in a hotel room. That is a kind of prison. Like, a friend of mine did exactly the same thing. She went over and she had her little kid with her. It was basically a newborn. And she was out here visiting her family and her in-laws. And then she suddenly got a ticket and she had to go back. She spent 10 or 12 days in quarantine, and they had guards.
Wow.
They had guards in the passages of the hotel. You could not leave your hotel room. If that isn't prison, I don't know what is, man. You know, really, it's wild, huh?
I mean, The Brits are such nanny state softies.
What is happening? Did they not get, isn't it you have to get a test like 72 hours, a negative test before you can travel? So that's not enough.
And then you still have to be locked up in a hotel room. And by the way, you get charged for that.
Oh, I was going to say, what? And London prices, I would imagine, eh? Oh my Lord.
Yeah.
And you can't quarantine at home. Mm-mm. You can't like.
No, you're only allowed. Ridiculous. You're allowed out like a SPCA pet. You're allowed out into the country only once you've done your quarantine. I mean, this is literally what we do with pets. You know, pets go into quarantine when you travel overseas. So humans are being treated like animals because of this virus. I mean, it's insane. I would just not go. I'd say, you know what? I'll wait. I'll wait my time. I'll wait for the vaccine if that's what's necessary, but I'm not going to be stuck in a hotel room for 10 days. I would lose my mind being in a hotel room for 10 days. I'd go insane. You've got a tiny little room and you've got nothing to do. You can't do a damn thing. You can watch TV, lie in bed and order room service.
And it's not like you're in Bazarito either. You know, like London is maybe the most, like, we're still in 1540 city in the world. You got to slightly get out of London actually to experience it. That's just like, oh my goodness. So just shoot me now. Oh.
Carlos, Mo Happy says, to Carlos's point, it's really not the case. Unless we change things, we will be under some kind of lockdown forever. The next one will be environmental. Slowly our freedom is eroded. Okay, calm down. Calm down. We'll take this freedom back, even if we have to do it at gunpoint. Trust me. This is what you're dealing with South Africa. We even have a day called Freedom Day, long before the British had theirs. And we saw South Africans are not afraid to go and set up their own roadblocks and protect their own communities if need be. So don't underestimate us. Coming up in a moment or two, the burning platform. I'm very, very excited for this. Very excited. So we're going to talk to Canthan Pillay, who we haven't had on for a while. And Canthan used to, of course, be co-host of the Burning Platform with Pumi. And he returns today for a reunion show with Pumi. And we've got lots of questions for him. We're also going to be joined by Dr. Anthony Turton, who I'm very pleased to have on the show. And we'll speak to him about, among other things, about water, because this is something we should be thinking about. We've heard this from all the experts. But he's actually an expert in this field like no other. He's also a political scientist who specializes in transboundary resource management. He's a known professional speaker, trainer, and facilitator. You may have seen a letter that he wrote during all the violence which we experienced in KZN just 2.5 weeks ago. He wrote a very interesting piece which was being distributed virally on the internet and WhatsApp groups and all over the place. I certainly received it a few times. And we'll speak to Dr. Anthony Turton about that letter too. So lots to discuss with him, lots to discuss with Pumi and Canthan. All of that on the way on cliffcentral.com. Coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Cliffcentral.com.